So if you could open up your Bibles and turn to Psalm 57. So Psalm 57, we'll read a couple of verses starting in verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. In 1975, a small book of 405 pages titled The Valley of Vision was published by the Banner of Truth Trust. I have to say this little book is second only to the Bible in the collection of the most precious books that I own. It is full of prayers of reverence, awe, penitential pleadings and achings, heartfelt longings and rejoicings, and it's permeated with a raw acknowledgement of our human frailty. The book is attributed to Arthur Bennett, but he's not the author. He rather carefully compiled selections of prayers and devotions from 14 of the Puritans. If you read anything from these great men of old called the Puritans, Watson, Baxter, Bunyan, Watts, Toplady, Owen, Flavel, and others, you might find yourself asking yourself many questions. What was it? And how was it that they were able to live in such a holy manner? How did they see God as so big and themselves so small? How did these men draw so close to God? How did they seem to truly know God so closely and intimately? I want that. I must attain to that. How can I be like that? In the preface of The Valley of Vision, there's a single sentence that I think sums it all up. The strength of Puritan character and life lay in the practice of prayer and meditation. Sometimes, or maybe oftentimes in our lives, I imagine we're on the receiving end of those individuals that only come to us when they need something. They're in a tight spot. They're in a jam. They can't work it out on their own, and they need our help. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good and right to need help from others and to offer help to others. 1 John 3:17 says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? But I'm speaking about those folks that never show up at your door. They never send a letter or a card. They never make a call just to see how you're doing, just to fellowship with you, just to check in on you. It's disappointing, it hurts, and you feel used and in a way taken. I ask us all, and none more poignantly than myself, how much do we do this with God? How often are our prayers full of requests and absent of adoration? How often are our pleadings more for our own good than for God's glory to be revealed? How often do our petitions seek to advance our own will and not the will of the one who created and sustains all things? And we have the audacity to wonder why we don't experience the fullness that these Puritan men of God of yesterday experienced? I am so guilty of this myself, and it pains me to my very core. Be done with it. Be done with it. Put away the pride and the selfishness. I've said this so many times. We live in a culture that is akin to something worse than a plague. We have want of nothing temporal. We have instant everything. And that's driving us to treat God as if he's a server at a fast food restaurant drive-up speaker. Hurry up, God. I need this and this and this and this other thing. I have no time to really be with you. The world's calling me and I must be there, but here's what I need, God. Give it to me. Give it to me now. I need to stop dealing with God like he's just there to serve me and my desires and give him the honor and respect that he deserves. Not only in my prayers, but in everything I do. Reading and meditating and praying through the Valley of Vision is proof positive that the Puritans did not approach God flippantly or selfishly or disrespectfully or just to get their own way and their own desires fulfilled. I've been pondering many aspects of these Puritan prayers and how they align with Scripture, and I want to focus our remaining time on just a few examples. Firstly, and maybe most importantly, they approach God in fear and reverence. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Hear some of these Puritan words. "When I review my past guilt and am conscious of my present unworthiness, I tremble to come to thee. I, whose foundation is in the dust, I, who have condemned thy goodness, defied thy power, trampled upon thy love, rendered myself worthy of eternal death, but my recovery cannot spring from any cause in me. I can destroy, but cannot save myself." Or this one, "Benign Lord, I praise thee continually for permission to approach thy throne of grace and to spread my wants and desires before thee. I am not worthy of thy blessings and mercies, for I am far gone from original righteousness. King of glory, divine majesty, every perfection adorns thy nature and sustains thy throne. The heavens and earth are thine. The world is thine in its fullness. Thy power created the universe from nothing. Thy wisdom has managed all its multiple concerns, presiding over nations, families, individuals. Thy goodness is boundless. All creatures wait on thee, are supplied by thee, are satisfied in thee." These Puritan men also recognized their own human depravity and that the only remedy was found in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 7, 24 to 25 says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Here are a few beautiful examples of these Puritan writings. "O God of unsearchable greatness, before thee I am nothing but vanity, iniquity, perishing. Sin has forfeited thy favor, stripped me of thy image, banished me from thy presence, exposed me to the curse of thy law. I cannot deliver myself and am in despair, but a resource is found in thee. For without my desert or desire, thou didst devise an everlasting plan, honorable to thy perfections, and which angels desired to look into. O God of my exodus, great was the joy of Israel's sons when Egypt died upon the shore. Far greater the joy when the Redeemer's foe lay crushed in the dust. Jesus strides forth as the victor, conqueror of death, hell, and all opposing might. He bursts the bands of death, tramples the powers of darkness down, and lives forever. He, my gracious surety, apprehended for payment of my debt, comes forth from the prison house of the grave, free and triumphant over sin, Satan, and death. O searcher of hearts, it is a good day to me when thou givest me a glimpse of myself. Sin is my greatest evil, but thou art my greatest good. I have cause to loathe myself and not to seek self-honor, for no one desires to commend his own dunghill. My country, family, church fare worse because of my sins. For sinners bring judgment in thinking sins are small, or that God is not angry with them. Let me not take other good men as my example and think I am good because I am like them. For all good men are not so good as thou desirest, are not always consistent, do not always follow holiness, do not feel eternal good in sore affliction." Finally, throughout these Puritan prayers and devotions, I find a profound sense of a continual need for personal revival that's expressed by them. Hear their voices lifted to God as we read, "When we droop, revive us. When we loiter, quicken us. When we go astray, restore us. Possess us with more of that faith, which is the principle of all vital godliness. May we be rich in faith, strong in faith, live by faith, walk by faith, experience the joy of faith, do the work of faith, hope through faith. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me an intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach. Vindicate it. See Jesus as its essence. Know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at the roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. In our day, change is moving at the speed of light. We're told the old ways are passé, the new ways are superior. They say those Puritan men of old did not have the knowledge we have today, the techniques we have today, the technology we have today. Their approach is antiquated in the modern age. But I tell you what, the more I read from them, the more I am convinced that they had a knowledge of God that is sorely lacking in our churches, in our communities, in our families, and in my own heart. Oh, Lord God, revive us with the old ways. Amen.